following A2A one-on-one feature is a production of the nonprofit Adversity to Advocacy Alliance. The views and opinions expressed by our guests do not necessarily reflect those of A2A or advocates, allies, or ally organizations. We hope you'll find this interview both informative and inspiring. And now, here's our host, Liz St. John.
Anna Norton is a diabetic. She is the CEO of the nonprofit Diabetes Sisters. Her organization focuses on diabetic issues specific to women. Anna has been named as an influencer in diabetes outreach. Anna, thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, thanks for having me, Liz. I'm so happy to be here.
First, give a brief explanation. The difference between type 1 and type 2 diabetes.
The difference between type 1 and type 2 diabetes is that in a patient or a person that lives with type 1 diabetes, their pancreas does not produce insulin, which is a hormone that everyone needs to survive. And because the body does not produce insulin, the blood sugar in the body tends to rise to dangerously high levels. And so insulin is the only thing that can bring that down. And because the body doesn't produce it, people that have type 1 diabetes, or it used to be called juvenile diabetes, must inject themselves with insulin via an insulin pump or a syringe daily, sometimes multiple times daily, in order to keep their blood sugar in a safe and in range number. With type 2 diabetes is characterized by a couple of different things, but primarily it's that the pancreas doesn't really know what to do with the insulin that it is creating. So it needs a little bit of help. And so sometimes that help can be alleviated through oral medications or exercise or weight loss. But essentially, it is sort of this, the body needs to be kickstarted to remember how to use insulin in order to keep blood sugar levels down. You know, as much as those differences are, there's so many more similarities in diabetes, and that's what Diabetes Sisters really focuses on the similarities that the different types of diabetes bring us together to think about when it comes to our entire emotional and social and physical well-being.
How old were you when you were diagnosed, and do you have type 1 or type 2?
I was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes when I was 18 years old. So, uncharacteristic at the time, it was 1993. It was still called juvenile diabetes. And I was diagnosed as an adult, technically, because I was 18. And so I went on multiple daily injections. And later, about 7 years after that, decided that I would like to go on an insulin pump. It just facilitated the way that I managed and treated my diabetes. It made things a little bit easier. I was a young woman, you know, and I was active. And so it was just more predictable for me to go on a pump. It was more manageable. It made me happier. And so I did that.
Talk just a little bit about the point when you were first diagnosed. What was going through your mind? How were your emotions?
I was diagnosed 2 weeks before I was to report to college. So I was attending university away from my hometown, about 6 hours away. And so all I could think about at the time was, will I be able to go? Will I be able to leave? So it was already a tumultuous time, you know, a changing time in my life. And then to throw diabetes into the mix really confused things. I did decide to go away and took my care with me. I took the charge of it all to myself. My parents were not involved again because I was 6 hours away from home. You know, initially it was easy because I was living in what they call the diabetes honeymoon phase, which is upon diagnosis, the body's still producing a little bit of insulin. So things are a little bit more predictable when it comes to blood sugar. But after my first year of living with diabetes, things really started to get confusing and complicated for me. Not to mention the fact that I was still an adolescent. I was 19, in college, away, living in dorms, you know, doing a lot of the things that college students do. So I was up late. I was going out. We were ordering pizza at 2 o'clock in the morning. We were doing lots of different things, you know, that college students do. And diabetes didn't really play a good role in that. You know, those two things don't get along very well. So I had a little bit of struggle there and challenge in living, you know, managing my diabetes at the time.
Anna Norton is a diabetic. She's CEO of the nonprofit Diabetes Sisters. So your organization really looks at those issues specific to women versus men when it comes to diabetes. What are those issues?
Diabetes Sisters offers support and education for women over the age of 18 that live with any kind of diabetes. We like to focus on the social and emotional aspects of living with the disease, as well as the physical. So some of the physical things that women with diabetes really need to look at that men may not necessarily have to look at is things like heart disease, reproductive issues, thyroid issues, things like that that may become escalated with the presence of diabetes in the body. So we try to focus on those things. Another thing that we focus on is the social and emotional well-being of a woman that lives with diabetes. So we talk about mental wellness. We talk about depression and anxiety. We talk about a woman being the CEO of her home, right? A woman wanting to maybe be married and have a family and have a career or go to school and live with diabetes. So we try to focus on all of these different things so that we can be the best women we can be with diabetes, so that we can spread that greatness that we can, that we can share. We try to spread that as best we can. So unless we're healthy, we can't make anybody else healthy. We can't take care of anyone else. So that's sort of the premise under which Diabetes Sisters was founded, that women are not alone in this disease, that, you know, one woman may be experiencing something and there's definitely another woman out there that has experienced it. One of the biggest things with diabetes is pregnancy and diabetes, which can be a very lonely road. It's very isolating. It can become very complicated. And so that's one thing that we always like to offer support to women, whether they are thinking about starting a family or they're in the middle of pregnancy or they're already parents and they're trying to manage diabetes and parenthood.
What motivated you to get involved with Diabetes Sisters?
I actually lived in Raleigh, North Carolina at the time, which is where Diabetes Sisters was founded. And I saw an advertisement at my endocrinologist office that Diabetes Sisters was hosting a conference right in town. And I decided to attend. And I had never been to any kind of support event for people that lived with diabetes before. But I figured, you know, why not go see what it's about? And what I found the moment that I stepped into the conference area, you know, I saw another woman checking her blood sugar, you know, I sat down next to her. She said to me, like, I'm here because I want to have a baby. Do you have a baby? And I said to her, you know, yeah, I do. My son was, I think, 3 years old at the time. And she said, how did you do it? You know, what kind of diabetes do you have? And I realized that I could share my knowledge. And then I could learn from other women that had lived with diabetes longer than I had. And they could answer questions that I had about advanced duration diabetes. And so it was almost like a light bulb turned on in my mind about this sort of peer support and learning from one another. And after that conference, I became involved with the organization as a volunteer. In 2012, I came on the staff. We doubled our staff in 2012 from one person to two. So I came on staff to work operations, to lead some of our support programs that are nationwide, to run the conference series. And then in 2015, the founder and previous CEO of Diabetes Sisters, Brandy Barnes, decided that it was time for her to step down from the organization. And the board of directors asked me to step in, in the interim role. And a couple of months later, they asked me to stay on permanently. And I've been there since.
It really is all about adversity to advocacy. That's what A2A really is about, helping others to help ourselves. Because this is really what people find, is that if they go out and help others, it helps them. It empowers them. It maybe makes them feel better emotionally, maybe physically. How does helping others help you?
Helping others is wonderful for me because I learn so much from other women that live with diabetes. Every time I encounter a woman that is a part of Diabetes Sisters or in another diabetes organization or meeting that we're together, I always learn something new, whether it's about dosing insulin or maintaining weight or trying to figure out how to not let blood sugar go low when you're exercising. I always learn something. Most recently, I was at a conference and there were some older women there, and I learned so much about diabetes and menopause. And that's not a place where I am right now in my life, but I will be there. You know, I will be there soon, I think. and for me to understand that firsthand from another woman that lives with diabetes, you know, they say that I'm helping them, but they're helping me because they're helping me to better understand and better prepare myself and my body for the things that are going to come in my life.
Anna, share some words of encouragement for women who have diabetes, maybe especially for someone who is newly diagnosed and really frightened about what's going on or confused.
Sure. Well, diabetes is scary and it's overwhelming. And there's so many things to learn about diabetes. But my advice to anyone who's feeling overwhelmed or isolated, the newly diagnosed or even those that have been diagnosed for some time and are experiencing maybe some burnout is you're not alone. We are not alone in this disease. There are so many outlets, whether online or in person, of other communities that can offer peer support, that can offer advice, that can offer encouragement, that can offer a shoulder for a bad day. You know, again, the disease is as isolating as we make it. And just take it day by day. No 2 days with diabetes are the same. And so I think that that's something really, really important to learn early on, you know, that the definition of insanity is doing the same thing every day and expecting different results, or expecting the same results and getting different ones. That's how diabetes is. You can have 2 days where you do the exact same thing and the blood sugars are different, you know, and there's no rhyme or reason. It's just the beast that diabetes can be. But I think that it's important that we tame that beast and we live as victoriously as we possibly can with diabetes.
Anna Norton, CEO of Diabetes Sisters. You can find them online at diabetessisters.org. Thank you so much for sharing your story with us today, one-on-one.
Oh, thank you so much, Liz.
You've been listening to A2A One-on-One, an outreach project of the nonprofit Adversity to Advocacy Alliance. To listen to other one-on-one interviews and to learn more about A2A, please visit us online at a2aalliance.org. And thanks for helping us spread the word that we help ourselves by helping others.